here's something good. You want to hear a good story?
Yes.
Okay. Seth is a four-year-old boy from Brantford who's had multiple near-death experiences due to a medical condition you're going to hear about in a second. But he's okay now.
Yay.
And he has a wish. And Make-A-Wish Connecticut has reached out to us and asked us, can you help us help Seth? And before they even got to helps, they were helps. We're, yes.
Yes. Yes.
And so we're all in. We don't know what we're going to do. This is how we do things around here. We say,
yeah.
Yes, and we will figure it out later.
Yes.
Yes.
But the important part, you get yes.
Yes. So we talked to Seth's dad, Jay, yesterday, and now we have Carol, Seth's mom, on. Good morning.
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 Hey, so do you remember the moment you found out that Seth had a very serious medical condition?
Yes. It was at my 20 weeks ultrasound, you know, the one that we check the anatomy and make sure everything is fine. And I noticed the ultrasound tech was spending a lot of time where the heart was. And she said that things weren't quite normal. So they sent me to the high-risk fetal ultrasound technician like a week later. And that's when they told me that his heart had possibly a hole in the heart, is how they said it initially. Basically, that the septum that divides the two ventricles wasn't developed. And they said that they didn't think it was the worst of the congenital heart syndromes at the time, where he would need multiple surgeries. So for a long time during my pregnancy, I was very hopeful and I had faith that everything was going to be fine. And closer to my due date, naturally, I developed some fear. What if it's the worst? So initially, I didn't knew the full extent of what we're diving into.
Is that how the mind works, though?
Yeah.
You hear something, you think, oh, I don't know, this could be the worst.
Yeah, so I just wanted to enjoy my last pregnancy. We knew it was going to be our third child, it was going to be our last child. So I didn't want it to be, I didn't want it, my last pregnancy to be ruined by fear and sadness. So I was very hopeful.
Good for you.
However, when I delivered, that's when we found out, when he was born, they did an echo of his heart, and they told us the sad news that indeed he had hypoplastic of right heart syndrome, also known as single ventricle, which is one pumping chamber. And also, in addition to that, which I didn't know, he had coarctation of the aorta, which is meaning that the arch was narrowed, and also that the pulmonary arch was like completely not developed. Well, so no way for blood to get to the lungs.
He comes into the world with the odds stacked against him.
Yeah.
Exactly. Half a heart is how we heart moms and parents say. We call it like a heart baby, half a heart. And so he needed immediate surgery at 5 days old. And originally
5 days.
5 days old. Yeah. I was going to stick close to home, but being a nurse with experience, I wanted, you know, a place that had, you know, actually, you know, experience like that where they do this every day. And so we decided to go to Boston Children because they're well known for congenital heart syndrome, especially this heart defect. It's a very serious surgery. The first surgery is called Norwood, and that's the first step to make Seth live longer. And it's very important. If they don't do it right, the child won't survive. So we took, you know, it was a very hard decision for my husband and I, but my husband was right on board and he agreed we'll do whatever it takes. And unknowing, we didn't know like the journey that was ahead, but we decided we wanted what was best for Seth. So we went to Boston Children and transferred 5 days out and had his first surgery, and left my two boys behind with my parents. Luckily, my mom, amazing angel, she retired early just to be with me. They're from Canada.
It's unbelievable.
Living there. Yeah, so she retired early. I think she lost, if I get it right, 3 years, 4 years of her retirement to be with Seth and my family to help me out. Otherwise, it would have not been possible. My husband had to work for benefits.
I just want to stop you for 1 second.
Yeah.
And if you're driving to work now, listening to this, and someone cuts you off, just... before you think that that's a problem.
Yeah.
reflect back on what's happening here.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Like this is the thing that we forget when we complain about the little things in life.
It's true, yeah.
It's like there are people out there with real
problems.
Real life situations.
Yeah.
So the surgery went well?
Yes, that was, it went very well with Dr. Barrett. He did an excellent job. Very scary for mommy here because I'm a trauma nurse from Yale, and I've had some experience. I'm like, I got this, you know, the chest being open won't bother me. I was very worried about my husband. He passes out when he sees blood. So I kept worrying about him, but it ended up affecting me very much. Unfortunately, the nurse didn't know we were entering the room, and they're supposed to kind of hide the chest because they leave the chest open because of heart swelling can occur. So I saw his heartbeat just open, and it went down. Pretty much downhill from there. I developed very serious PTSD from that. And I was alone a lot in Boston Children because my husband had to come back to work and tend to the other two children who were five. The oldest was five and the middle one was 2.5 at the time. And so I was alone a lot through it. And it was very hard, but I just kept thinking how I just, you know how mothers have intuition. I just sensed every time I was strong that Seth was stronger. So I just had this motto, I got to be positive. I got to do this. So I just kept reminding myself. It was like, you know, drowning in the ocean where waves keep hitting you and you got to keep fighting. But I just, it's the love I had for him, you know. That really kept me pushing through. And his amazing work. He was just so amazing. But unfortunately, soon after, he developed vocal cord paralysis that we didn't know initially. They extubated him, and they noticed he was having some trouble breathing. And they did a scope and looked at his cord and noticed the left side was completely paralyzed. So they had said, unfortunately, it happens. The heart is the size of a penny, a quarter, I was told. For a newborn, it's tiny. So the nerve is right there. And I was told it's 12% chance to nick the nerve. And it happened with him. So he ended up being intubated. And it took 2 months before he can receive eventually a tracheotomy tube surgery to help him breathe better because they said if he did it too soon that he wouldn't make it. So between that time, it was very hard because I had to witness him suffer with his breathing. It was the hardest thing I ever had to do.
Man.
Yeah, witnessing that. But he was such a fighter. A fighter. He did not give up.
God bless him.
But
that's for sure.
Before his surgery, the trach, I'll never forget, it kind of was dragging on. Nobody wanted to make a decision between the NICU and cardiologist because they knew that it was very risky if they did another anesthesia on him being single ventricle. Their anatomy is the way it is. It's just high risk. So
wow.
I remember
every
one night.
Step.
Yeah.
There's something.
Some kind of,
Hard
this
decision.
Is,
You
know, we're hearing this story unfold over minutes. Can you imagine just every day, every week, it's
something
bringing
different.
You something else.
Something different, yep.
Another curveball.
Yep.
Yes, exactly. And this was the hardest out of all because it was a catch-22, you know. Damn if you do, damn if you don't. And that's when I was like, I went back to my apartment. And I fell on my knees and I asked God, look, like, I love him too much to see him suffer right now. So, you know, if it's this faith to be with you, like, I love him too much that I'm ready. You could take him. But if it is his faith to go, he needs to step up because nobody's making the decision, you know, like, and then the next day or two, he literally went into respiratory distress, needed to be intubated. And then that week he had his trach. So I was so happy that I didn't have to make the decision. Really, nobody could. It was forced. So that's when I knew God was on my side.
Your prayers were answered.
Yeah.
Were answered, exactly. Yeah. There's more hurdles after that, unfortunately. But soon, and we were able to transfer back to Yale. That was a big thing, thank God. Once his trach was in, he was stable. So we got close to home. That was great, being with the boys again and less mileage, but then he needed his Glenn surgery. That's the second out of the three surgeries, and that was in June of 2017. He was 5 months old. That one was a big one because before they do the open heart, they had to do a catheterization to check the pressures of the heart. They say usually it goes well, benign, high risk, but you know, not like the open heart. So my husband and I decided to leave the day before to spend as much time as we could with the boys, because we know it's always a journey after. And while we're driving up, our cardiologist called us and he kept saying, "Where are you? Where are you guys?" They thought we were there.
That
in Boston.
Is not good.
And it's not good. He said that, I don't know how to tell you this, but during the procedure, he developed blood clots right in the aorta, and that's like the major pump. And his heart stopped beating, and they had to do CPR twice on him. And they said that Dr. Baird needs to make a big decision. Either we put him on the ECMO machine, which is life support, or do we risk it and go do an open heart surgery? With the bets, hopefully he doesn't have another clot and code again. So he decided, Dr. Baird is amazing, he just decided, because there's a lot of risk when you put somebody on life support. There's a lot of, like, battles after that. I'm so happy that he went with his gut feeling and just said, let's just do the surgery. And he did such an amazing job. It was actually uneventful after. He really did well. We're concerned on a neurodevelopment point after that, after you don't have oxygen. But Seth, it's like nothing ever happened. It was just so miraculous.
Unreal.
Yeah.
It is miraculous.
So he's okay now?
He is. Yeah, he screams louder than my other boys, I have to say.
There you go, see?
That's the T-Rex batter.
He's earned it.
Yay.
Wow.
He's earned the right, yes.
How long did this take to all unfold to where you knew he was out of the woods and he was going to be fine?
On the first 4 months, I never knew. And that's why it was very hard. But then after, I would say after his second surgery, when I saw that his heart stopped and he came back to us, I just knew that, okay, Seth is meant to be with us. So that's where I always got my strength too. It was a long journey after. It never ended.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like you said, that's where I got my strength. It's just seeing his past history, what he's been through.
It's unbelievable.
It's where I got the strength. Yeah. He came home at 7 months. So it was a 7 month long hospitalization the whole time. Where I was
Which probably put a decade on your life.
Easily.
You know?
It was
Easily.
Very much.
Yeah.
Thank God I had my parents, my mother helping out, my sister, and just everybody helping out. And my husband was a rock, but the poor man that he told you yesterday, he had a heart attack like at 8 months, a month after my son was home. He had a heart attack. So that was. I was like, you're kidding me?
Yeah.
Right.
Anything else can happen.
Right. Don't ask.
You never ask a question.
Yeah. Knock on wood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're in a good place now. We're gonna try to help Make-A-Wish Connecticut get Seth his wish, which his
That's
wish
amazing.
Is to be with family. He likes water. He likes camping, right? So they're going to put together an RV trip for you guys. And
amazing.
Kim with Make-A-Wish yesterday was saying it costs about $10,000 for the average wish in Connecticut. So that's going to be our goal over the next few days, to raise $10,000 to make this wish come true.
Right.
Do we have Sound of Seth available?
Hold on.
I think we have it handy here.
Okay. I was going to say he might be sleeping still. He's with my mom.
No, I don't want to wake him up.
Yeah, no.
You don't want to wake up the T-Rex.
No, of course not.
Is that his nickname, T-Rex?
Well, it's Godzilla these days, actually.
He likes Godzilla?
Either one's way cool.
He loves Godzilla, yep.
Okay. Here it is. Here he is.
4 years old. I'm from Bamford. I'm so strong. My wish is to go camping with Mommy and Daddy. Thank you, Chaz and AJ.
From the bottom of my heart, I would like to say thank you to Chaz and AJ.
So strong.
Yep.
His little voice. When they said he may never talk, look at him now.
Exactly.
So strong.
Yay.
All right. Well, we're really proud to be part of this. Now we got to figure out what we're going to do. We got to do some kind of an event where, you know,
right.
We always put AJ into something. So,
okay.
So that's our project now.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for letting us be part of this.
Thank you so much for bringing awareness to all of us parents going through this kind of thing, and Make-A-Wish, you know, it's also shedding light on Make-A-Wish needs help from everybody all the time, you know. So thank you.
Ashley, are you having a problem with your makeup over there?
It's just very touching to hear him speak after everything he's been through. He's only four.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. This is our work now. This is fun work. Make a wish.
Right. Let's fun time. It. Yes. Here we go.
All right, Carol. Thank you. We're going to be talking to you soon. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much, guys.
You're welcome.
Thank you.